turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10. And in our study, we are very mindful of late, all the way through, that Nebuchadnezzar has finally moved down and the city is about to be invaded by the Babylonians and leveled, including ultimately Jerusalem. And thus, in the process, we share together that Jeremiah, in our verse 23, said in his prayer, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, in and of and by himself. It is not in man that walketh, goes about from one place to another, to direct his steps, so that, as we share that last time together, in the light of the movement, we all can move, and we go a step at a time. That's how we travel. A moment of time, in time, we make moves. We do what we do. We live our life. But as to the moments that lie ahead, future, we don't have them. We just don't know them. They aren't in our command. We cannot make a decision thus and thus and thus. Next week, we can plan it, we can guess it, but we can't be sure of it. We can't know it for sure. We have to say, James, Lord willing. We don't know. God, you know. You know the future. So, Israel can do what it does. Babylon will do what it does. And in the process, all of that will be worked out, and Babylon will think its rule and reign is forever, as it were, and that is not true. And in the process, Israel can assume that the destruction of the city is the end, but that is not true. So all of that is taking place, and man is going, the lot is cast into the lap. Proverbs 16 and 33. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing of it, the outworking of it, is God's. God alone knows tomorrow and a million years from now. And he knows a million years from now, a million years ago. So a million years tomorrow, but God already knew a million years tomorrow, a million years ago. And so God, we're trying to go, humans are, down the corridor of time without God. And you just can't do that. It won't work. You got to include him. If you want to have any future, you want to have it. Now, and just one place, we'll come right back here, I guess, right back here. Over to Romans. I think we were there just to remind me and yourself. Romans chapter 11. Chapter 9. And picking up, please, in verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. For then it is not of him that willeth. In other words, we're going to will this and want that. It is not of him that willeth, nor is it of him that runs. Run. Running down the corridor of time to achieve, to get, to arrive at, to get somewhere. It is not in him that runneth. It's not in him that runneth. But of God that showeth mercy. Now hang on to that. So Israel, his Israel put aside in the church age, but we know that God is going to put it all back together when you come to that particular section, Romans 11 and verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So all of it's taking place in God's time, and people can try to think and say and plan and do what they do, but they're all limited. You're all limited because we don't know. We aren't in charge. We aren't in charge of the next hour. What we're doing, but the next hour, we have no idea of its ultimate end. We don't know that yet till we get there. Now, so having said that little bit, back over to Jeremiah chapter 10. So Jeremiah reminds us and him and thus before God that he knows that humans, Israel, right now Nebuchadnezzar's coming in to the city, take it, and the people of Israel are indifferent or not paying attention to God at all in it. And so now Jeremiah says, listen, you know that we, God, you already know that we are but of the dust of the ground. You know that we are as a flower that flourisheth and is gone. As a blade of grass in the field, we're here and then we're gone. So God, you know the frailty of the human heart, and he sure does. Now, so in Jeremiah, here he is, verse 24. And we get a little more background to that. Keep in mind now, remember he's coming into the city, and the city is going to go and be dealt with, but Nebuchadnezzar is going to take it. And picking up in chapter 10, verse 19, woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous, but I said, truly, truly, yet, with great certainty, This pointing, like a demonstrative pronoun, pointing, this is grief. This is a grief. And the word grief is the same as the word grievous. This is a grief to me. What's happening to Israel? What's happening with Nebuchadnezzar? And, as we shared the end of verse 19, I must bear it. I must carry it. It isn't going to change. It isn't going to go away. Nothing's going to stop. It's all going to keep going. Here we are in our world. We'd like things to sort of slow down. They're actually speeding up very very fast, exponentially, and they're going up. That's what happens. That's where we are. And it's happening with the migration and all of that stuff. Wow. Now, having said that, Jeremiah, it isn't. You're looking at Israel, and it's going to be clobbered. That's right. We're looking at our world, and we'd like to have it sort of hang on there and have a little more space, and especially in our country and that. But that isn't in the car. Isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to bear it. Can we change anything? No, we can vote, we can do what we want, best we can, but we can't change anything, no. It's going to have to be, you're going to have to bear it, so you don't get down to the dumps and say, well, we used to have this, and then you sit and moan and groan for the next 10 years. No, this is all gone. It's all where we're headed, and God, you know it, and you're not going to change it. No, I'm not. Chapter 7. Jeremiah, you know that, and he does. Jeremiah honors God. So we aren't sitting there and telling God to make it all go away. It isn't going to go away. So we don't have to sit there and say it. God, make it not happen. No, you don't. Chapter 7, Jeremiah, verse 16, remember. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. I'm not going to hear you. Now, Jeremiah, do you understand that God gave a command not to pray and not look for any relief? Back over to chapter 10, verse 19. I must bear it. There's no relief. I can't pray that it'll go away. It isn't going to go away. It isn't going to go anywhere. So what are you going to do, Jeremiah? Well, I understand. I can't change what's going to happen, but I can look to God, whom I know, who we know, who He knows. And in verse 24, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So God, I'm looking to correct me. So Jeremiah, representing the city, representing the people, the remnant people, God, correct me, correct me. I'm not asking you, God, to stop what's Nebuchadnezzar anymore. We can't stop Nebuchadnezzar. It's on its way. It's not going to change at all. So therefore, I'm not going to pray that. I'm not going to pray to make my problem go away, because it isn't going to go away, make believe. So God, I'm going to have to work in my problem, with my problem, in spite of my problem. And so what am I going to do, God? Well, here's Jeremiah. Lord, correct me, but with judgment. And the word correct is intensive. To do something with great, correct me, God, and do it with vigor. Do it, roll up your sleeves and do it with great vigor. And the word means to bind, to tame, to restrain. And it has to do with discipline, chastening, instruction, training. You'll get the meaning of the word, easy to start with. Over, if you would please, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah chapter 31, picking up, please, in verse 18. 31:18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastened me, that's the word correct, thou hast chastened me intensely, and I was chastened, the same verb again. How were you chastened? As a bullock. How? What do? You train, you tame the animals to be work, to work with you, to honor what you, when you say to do something. You train the animal to tame it, to work, so it's a domesticated animal. That's what you do. That's the word, to correct. Oh, correct me, God. You're going to have to go and do something to restrain, restrict, administer instruction, chastening. God, you have to help me. You have to help me. Now, God, are you going to do that? Now, that you have to ask yourself, is that a reasonable request? And if so, why? Why is that reasonable to correct me? You can't change the judgment. Now, over, if you would please, to chapter 2 of Jeremiah. Chapter 2, picking up, please, a little thought. Chapter 2, verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall, there's your little verb, correct. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. You have no fear of me. And it's your, thy wickedness, everything, you're going to reap what you sow. I'm going to let you reap what you sow. You ask for it, you're going to get it. Now, having said that, we're going to reap what you're going to sow. Now, back over, if you would, at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, judgments, statutes, ordinances. And at Mount Sinai, beginning of their 40-year escapade, if you would, in Israel, in the wilderness. Over, if you would, please, to Leviticus and chapter 26. Now, Israel is going to be blessed if they obey God, but if they don't obey God, it's not going to come out well. Now, this is at the beginning. That's what I want to get, the beginning. So when you are introduced to God at Mount Sinai, God introduces himself, and he lets it be known that this, if you want to work with me, and they already said all that, remember Exodus 19:8, All that you say, God, we will do. Now, they never should have said that, because it's up to us to do what we want, when we want, with your word, as we wish. Wrong way. But they weren't going to obey, but that's how it started out. So, God, did you forewarn them in all kinds of ways? Here's one of them. Isaiah chapter 26, and in verse 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, because I'm in present tabernacle in the middle of you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. What for? That you should not be and be their bondmen. I wanted you to serve me and not the Egyptians. For I have broken the bonds of your yoke and made you to go upright. In other words, you're freed from the slavery of Egypt to serve me. Verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, if you shall despise my statutes, and if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all the commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also, verse 16, will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror and consumption, a wasting away, and the burning ague, and that shall consume the eyes. I will cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. In other words, you're going to be full of fear, like they are now. Verse 18. And if you will not yet, for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish, there's your word, correct, chasten, instruct. I will punish you. I will teach you. I will tame you. If you're going to be rebellious, then you're going to have to be broken. I will break the pride of your power. Verse punish. The end of verse 18. Even seven times more for your sin. Verse 19. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. In other words, you're going to try to get help and your words are going to go no higher than the ceiling. You can't get up. You can't get down. You're caught. There's no help, no hope, up or down, in or out, anywhere. Verse 21. And if you will walk contrary unto me, I will not hearken unto you. And will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Verse 23. And if you will not reform, the word reformed is the word to correct, to tame, to change, to chasten, to get ready, to discipline. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, I'm going to let all these things happen, and it ought to wake you up. But, and will walk contrary unto me. Verse 24. Then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you seven times for your sins. Each time is going to add up. Every time, you're going to keep adding. And then you're going to slide down for time's sake. Verse 27. And if you will not at all, for all this that I'm going to, what's going to reach you? How many times have you got to go through things? If you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, I will walk contrary unto you. And you also in fury, and I will chastise, there's your word correct, you seven times for your sin. So if you think it's going to work out, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, you're going to reap your own sins. How much? Well, the more you disregard, the more you want to be rebellious, the more you want to be indifferent, the more you don't care, is the more you're going to find the absence of God. And it's going to pay off. It's going to pay if you listen, pay attention to where you're going to go. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, before at Mount Sinai, now we're going to go 40 years down the road just before they cross the Jordan, over to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, please. Picking up in chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, if I may. May I go directly to verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. He might instruct thee. There's your word. Correction. Taming of a horse. Instruction. Instruction. Discipline. Chastening. That he might instruct thee, like training the bullock, training an animal. And upon the earth he showeth thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Verse 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. So here in verse 36, they listen to God at Mount Sinai. And God reminds Moses, has Moses remind Israel that 40 years ago, you guys listened to God from Mount Sinai, and he told you these things. He told you them. He told you them to instruct you. Now, over to chapter 8. Chapter 8 in Deuteronomy. And you will notice, please, in chapter 8, picking up, if I can, a little bit of the context of verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in your heart that a man, as a man chasteneth, that's the word correct, discipline, train. Verse 5. As a man chasteneth his son. And it's intensive again. These words every time. Full of vigor. It doesn't mean you don't whack them. Intense. Discipline. Intense. Thus, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth, there's your word again, thee. So God is going to chasten Israel, did chasten Israel, will chasten Israel. And Jeremiah, what are you saying? Oh, God, chasten me. Chasten us. Why? You're going to judge us, and you're right. I can't change that. But God, I can look to you for chastening. I can look to you for chastening that goes with your judgment. Hang on. Goes with that. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, as a son, God said, Psalm 94. In Psalm 94, picking up, if I can, the thought in, verse 6. Shall slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet, they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the Lord of Jacob regard. In other words, whatever we do, we can do, so what? Yet, they say, the Lord will not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Verse 8. Understand, ye brutish. Brutish, remember we did that in chapter 9, 10. Brutish. Chapter 9, 10. Among the people, ye fools, when will you be wise? So we're saying God doesn't see, God doesn't care, God isn't around. Verse 9. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Here's our word. He that chasteneth, correcteth the heathen, corrects them, chastens them. He that chastens the heathen, shall he not correct or judge? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? God, you take care of everybody everywhere. Everyone reaps. It reaps. Nations rise up and then they disappear off the earth, except for Israel. So now, and verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity, vanity. And in the light of that, keep going if you would, and in, well, verse 12, blessed, in the light of, here's the word correction in verse 10, the word chasten the heathen. Go down to verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, there's our word, discipline, train, tame. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of the law. So, what are you praying for? I'm praying, Jeremiah said, I'm praying for God's discipline. I'm praying for God's correction. I'm praying for God's taming us. We're out of line. We're out of whack with God. And God, we need your discipline. God, I understand your judgment, and I understand you also, God, you also go and chasten. You chasten. In the process of your judgment, you chasten. So I'm looking, as we shared last time, I'm looking for your, like you read in Romans 9, I'm looking for mercy. In judgment, I'm looking for mercy, God. In wrath, I'm looking for mercy. So now, having said that little bit, over if you would please to Jeremiah again, and chapter 30. Jeremiah and chapter 30. And you would note, if you would, I'm just picking it up again because it's going to come and reoccur three more times or so. And I just want to give you a couple just to show you that, God, do you answer prayer? Yes, he does. Jeremiah, are you out of place asking God to correct you? Knowing he's going to judge and he can't change that. Are you out of line? No. God, correct me according to your judgment, in judgment. You don't want judgment to go away? No, I don't. Over. Chapter 30, Jeremiah, if I can, and in chapter 30 and verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I will make a full end of all nations, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, though I will make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make not, N-O-T, make a full end of thee. What are you going to do then, God? I am going to go, I will correct thee. That's your word, correct thee. And then you have the little words, in measure. That's the same word, judgment. The Lord, correct me in and with thy judgment. Here's the word, in measure, is the word judgment. So they go right together. In verse 20, verse 11, correct me in measure, and I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. So there's no out. You're going to get clobbered. But, I'm not going to clobber you like the rest of them, and I'm going to correct you in judgment. In judgment. Ah, in judgment. Ah, I got that. Now, and having said that, and you can again, well, you don't have to see it. Over if you would, please, with the word. Remember now, I will correct thee, God, oh, correct me, but, however, God, I want you to correct me, but I want you to do so with the instrument, I want you to use an agent. What do I want you to do? I want you to use something in correcting me. Judgment. But that's what you're going to do. Aha. That's what I want. I want you to correct me in the judgment that you're going to exercise. Now, how does that work? Now, so correct me in the light of thy judgment. And so, and the word judgment has to do with a judge to decide, to separate things, to discern, to determine. A judge makes the rule. the judge has the right to rule. He has the exclusive right to be the judge, to be the jury, to be the judgment. God has the exclusive right for righteousness, to exercise rightness, to bring everything to the rule of rightness, being all things to the rule of rightness. God, I want you to make things right. Hang on to that. Boy, that's good. Make things right, God. Now, having said that a little bit, in the light of this word, judgment, over if you would please to Genesis. Genesis in chapter 18. And you will note, remember now, you're going to have Sodom and Gomorrah and all that. And Genesis chapter 18, Abraham to God. Verse 19. For I know him, said the Lord. I know him. Now that's God. So God, does you know the heart? I know the heart. God, why do you deal with people? Because I know their heart. I know where it's going to go. I know that if I sit tight and watch, 3 years from now, they're still going to do the same. They're going to stay right in there. I can count on them. They're going to fear me. I know them. I'm going to deal with them because I know where they're going to go. They aren't going to deviate and drift off and go somewhere else. They're going to hang in there. Now hang on to that. Verse 19, for I know him, said God, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice. And now's our word, judgment, that we're looking at to separate, to discern, to decide, to rule, to make judgment, to have the exclusive right to make a decision. And judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God, you're going to honor Abraham, right? And Abraham's going to honor you in the thick and thin. That's correct. Chapter 18, please. And in verse, remember now, the Lord is sending his angels to Sodom and Gomorrah. And picking up, if I can, verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Do you see the word righteous? The word judgment. Judgment. Are you going to judge? You're going to judge righteous, rightness. God, correct me according to your righteousness. Now, why are you judging Jerusalem, my Nebuchadnezzar? Because of my righteousness. Thus, verse 24, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Verse 25, that be ye far from thee to do after that this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteousness should be as the wicked? This make no difference between good and bad, right and wrong? Should be as the wicked, and that be far from thee, shall, you know the wonderful statement, shall not the judge of all the earth do what? Right. God, you have to do judgment. You have to bring everything to the rule of rightness. It's required. It's required. Remember, we had the sheets of paper at different times in history. Blank piece of paper, and you have one little dot on it. That piece of paper with one dot, the dot has to go. God is righteous. There's nothing except rightness. When the millennium is going to work towards it, but the world isn't going to get there. In the new heaven and new earth, everything is right. Never wrong. And forever, there's never a wrong. No more wrong. Ever. Judgment. Righteous. That's right. Now, keeping that little bit in mind, over if you would please to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. Correct me and bring, but do so by means of your judgment, your rightness. God, make it right. Whatever you do, however you do, make it honor your rightness, your judgment. As you level Jerusalem, honor yourself. All the way, in every way, honor yourself. Now, hang on. Chapter 30, remember, Israel. Israel with a problem. And thus, you know the wonderful statement, verse 15, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. So we're going to look to you, God, and rest in who you are. And we're going to be confident, and we're going to be quiet. And God, you're going to give us the strength. And you know what? They didn't want to do that. And the end of verse 15, they would not do it. They would not do it. They wouldn't do it. So therefore, verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon a hill, upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. No flag. In other words, you guys are going to be afraid of everything in the process. Now, verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait, in order that what? He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted. When? That he may have, he wants to be exalted and honored, that he may have mercy upon you. What are you asking for, Jeremiah? I'm asking God to correct me according to his judgment. And God, I'm looking for your mercy in the judgment. I'm not telling you to make it go away. Honor yourself in it and be merciful. God, why are you going to wait? Here's Isaiah, Assyria, God waited, and now he's waiting for Babylon and Judah. Chapter 18, the end of, middle of the verse, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is the God of judgment. There's your word. Blessed are they that wait for him. So what are you praying, Jeremiah? I'm looking for God. God, everything is like it is. But God, I need your mercy and grace, and your make things come out right. That's all. As wrong as they could be, as rotten as they can be, God, make them come out right. And then we have all kinds of wonderful statements to encourage us. The wonderful statement, you know, all things work together for good. Not everything is good, but I'll make things good. So God, if I'm going to look to you as I fumble around and mess up things and try to fix things and try to excuse myself and everything else, God, I'm going to look to you for your mercy and grace, and God is going to wait for me, be merciful to me so that he can exercise his rightness, his judgment. Jeremiah, what are you asking for? God, I want you to exercise your judgment, your rightness in everything you do, including us here in Jerusalem, this remnant of believing believers, as it were, Jeremiah and the rest of us. Now, and thus over, if you would, remember now, on your way, over to Malachi. In Malachi chapter 2, and you would recall a little word shows up again as you end the Old Testament. And chapter 2, and so how are they thinking? Verse 17, you have wearied, 2 and 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? You ever think of people praying this and praying that, and they say this to God, and they say that to God, and I wonder how much he's wearied by what we say. What do we say that wasn't of the flesh, that we were doing for our own end, for our own complaint? Got to complain to someone, we'll complain to God. Now, so you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he, God, delighteth in the people doing evil, or to say it another way, where is the God of judgment? I want, Jeremiah, what are you saying? Judge me, O God, according to your judgment. Correct me, tame me, instruct me by way of your judgment, your righteousness, all that you are. And thus, God, what are you saying, Israel? Who cares about God's judgment? Jeremiah, you're looking for it. That's correct. Is the remnant going to care? No, sir. God, we don't care about your judgment. And they're going to get judged. And they're going to find it out in the wrong side of the way, in the wrong kind of way. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to Nehemiah and an illustration after the Babylonian captivity. We did it last week with Ezra, and this week we'll do it with Nehemiah. And you will note in Nehemiah chapter 9, picking up if I can, starting directly verse 30, Nehemiah 9:30. This is now they're coming back. They're back in the land, a small bunch of them, going to rebuild the temple, etc., after the Babylonian captivity. And yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifieth against them by thy spirit. In thy prophets you spoke by the prophets to Israel. Yet would they not give ear? They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to fix anything. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, etc. Verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great and the mighty and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee. We have a problem with our neighbors, with the friends. They aren't helping us at all. We're trying to rebuild the wall. We're trying to do the right things. There's a whole lot of opposition. God, it isn't like Assyria. It isn't like Babylon. It's just this condition we're in that we need help. And God, it isn't a big thing. God, to you, it's just a little thing, God. And like in Zechariah, despise not the day of small things. We're just little. Our problem is a little problem. It's a big problem, but a little problem to us. It's lousing, it's hurting our testimony, hurting our function to enjoy being saved. Therefore, verse 32, now therefore our God, the great and the mighty, the terrible God who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our king, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all the people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. God, I'm going to come right up to where we are, said Nehemiah. Here I am, God, all the way from all these couple of hundred years have gone by almost. Verse 33. Howbeit, God, we understand what? Thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. So we're going to be straightway with you, God. We owe you. You always do right. You never do wrong. Never do it wrong. Never do it wrong. No. Over, if you would please, to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 12, as you know. Our Lord mentioning going to the cross. Verse 1, chapter 12:1. Wherefore, seeing you also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, bearing up under the load, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, he's the author, he's the inspiration, he's the motivator. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who encourages us to be believers, believing. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, God, we want to look to you. That's right. And what are you saying? Well, in order to stay with it and mature and grow and stay on course, like Abraham, we want to stay on course. So God, we're going to have to look to what? As the Lord Jesus Christ hung in there all the way to the cross. I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer and die. I must do all of that. And in the process, what am I doing? I'm bearing your judgment on Calvary's cross. The wages of sin is death. I am bearing your judgment on the cross. I'm dying for you. All right? So God, that's what you've done. Uh-huh. I want you to know that. So God, we are able to have all kinds of benefits now. The forgiveness of sins. We're able to go, if we confess our sin, to know that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that. We know if we walk in the light as thou art in the light, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. So God, we put all, line it all up and get devour it in our mind and heart. God, it's a wonderful thing that you've done. Uh-huh, it is. Now, I want you to know something, though, that in the process, you have an old nature, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. You have an old nature. And Jeremiah said, you know what is in man. What is in man? We turned each one, remember we shared it last week, Jeremiah 53, 6. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God, here we are. Uh-huh. And so God, hey, now you need some help. If you think you're just going to automatically be with it, trained, instructed, understand, and being able to go like Abraham down the corridor and hang in there and do it right, that takes training, discipline, hard knocks. The trying of your faith produces this bearing up under the load. So God, we have to go through that. That's right. Now, what do you want me to know? In the light of this, chapter 12, verse 15, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked by him. That means you're going to have to get it. And God's word isn't a nice little book. It's all about the reality of life and how to win. And there's no cover up. There's nothing made to look better than it is. That's why you know the Bible isn't of man. Man would never write it like this. Man would never say it like this. Would never do it. It just isn't our nature. So God, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, there's your word, and scourgeth us, every son whom he receiveth. So God, if I'm going to be loved, then I'm going to have to what? Be trained, disciplined, chastened. I'm not going to have it. You know, I had some children. And in the process, back then, there were more children in the neighborhood, of course, because everyone was a different age back then, and a lot more children around. But in the process of them, I had a couple of them, four. How many did I have? Four. And in the process, four of them. And you know what? I did my best, which wasn't very good, I confess. Not very good at all. But, I didn't go down the street and discipline someone down the street that was good or not good. I only disciplined my own because they were mine. And I was responsible for them. I was to love them. And that's what I did. Down the street, they were not mine. God, what are you saying? When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into a marvelous love affair where God is giving you His wonderful person, and you in return are yielding and looking to Him to be God to you. And you give your person, we love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. Now, So therefore, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For, verse 7, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastening and you say, well, God never bothers me and what I do and what I say, I can do and say what I want, no one, I'm never, never, never bothered, you're probably not saved. There's no evidence. You can't do that. The Spirit of God, Galatians 5 and that, is going to be against you doing that. So if you can get away with that, then you're probably not saved. Have to be saved. And when you're saved, God says, then you're going to be loved. And once you enter into the family, then the family, the father is going to discipline the children. And verse 8, but if you be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, everyone is, then you are bastards and not sons. Now, sliding down quickly. Verse 10, for they verily, we fathers, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. We do it for a little bit, you know, we spank them, and then tomorrow you got to do it all over again. You told them not to, and they do it anyway. And so you got to keep going. It never seems to stop. Never seems to end. But. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. What for? That we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. And I never had, of course, in one occasion, but it never had when you spanked them back then. We didn't go to Sing Sing when you spanked them. You know, we had to actually board. The bookstore sold the boards. Remember the Board of Education for the Seed of Learning? I still probably have one. You saw big sale, buy the boards, you know. And that's Obamacare is going to include them. Now, in the process, we get chastened. But we weren't happy when we were getting clipped. No, it bothered us. That's what it's supposed to do. So God, why can't we just enjoy things? Because maybe we aren't in the place to do it. Maybe our attitude isn't right. Maybe we aren't in the place for God to enjoy God's wonderful growing and learning. And God, do bring all the matters to rightness. That's all I want. I want it to come out right. I want whatever it is, as wrong as it is, as wrong as everything is, I want God to be able to go the next moment. I want that moment to come out right, not wrong. Isn't that what you want? When you come to the end, is that what you want? Don't you want it to come out right? You want it to come out right, 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 right. God, that's what I want. And that's what God made possible. So we're able to look to God. And we're able to go, and like 1 Corinthians and all that. If we, God, you've made it so that if we are not going to be condemned or chastened with the world. And because we're saved, and so therefore we can't be condemned, but we certainly can be chastened. And God, we aren't illegitimate. We want to be legitimate children, for real. And God, you love us, and that. And that's a wonderful thing, God. And if you love me, you're going to clip me. You're going to keep me from doing stuff. Yeah, they used to call it, remember they had the thing called tough love a while back or something? Tough love. No, yeah, I want tough love. I don't want some sloppy stuff. I mean, what kind of stuff is that? Mushy, gushy, no good for nothing. Nothing like that. No, sir, God, I don't want to be loved like that. And you won't love me like that because you can't love like that. Thank you very much that you love me like you do. Chasten me, train me, discipline me, chasten me. God, thank you for all the exercises that keep me a little bit in line for your honor and glory. So God, here was Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, O God, correct me, chasten, tame me, and do so in using the wonderful agent, using your judgment to bring all matters to rightness. So whatever you do with us, we want it to come out right. No? You want it to come out right. That's a wonderful thing. And how so? Because of your mercy. That's what we're looking for. So we aren't looking for some big thing that we're something. We aren't anything. But God is. God's merciful. So when you get in your car, you're going to be in the car with a merciful God. When you go home, you're going to go home with a merciful God. That's why probably, I know for me, I'd probably die 500 times if he didn't protect me on the highway. You know, wow. So God be merciful. That's right. God be merciful. All through the night, God, exercise your mercy and outwork your grace. In our world, Israel, government, police, firemen, men and women in the military, all the countries of the world where Christians are being clobbered and other people are being clobbered that aren't Islamic. God, deal with us, our country, even now as we do some silly things up there in Congress to come out, God. God, we're going to pay for it, but hey, we're going to live with it. But God, correct me according to your judgment. God. I can't fix it. I'm not trying to fix it. I just want to keep my heart right in this present evil world. So we'll pray. And perhaps two or three would lead us, and I know we didn't have any prayer requests, but God help us.